Please turn now in the Bible to Genesis at the end of chapter 44. You can find Genesis at the end of 44 on page 38 in the Pew Bible. We pick up at the end of what we read last time, Judah's speech, begging this man, he doesn't know who it is, to let him stay and be the slave instead of his brother, Benjamin. So we'll pick up at verse 32 of Genesis 44, and I'll read in the chapter 45 up to verse 15. Please give your attention to the word of God. Judah is pleading for Benjamin's freedom. "For your servant became a pledge of safety for the boy to my father, saying, 'If I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father all my life. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the boy, as a servant to my Lord, and let the boy go back with his brothers. For how can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? I fear to see the evil that would find my father.' Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, 'Make everyone go out from me.' So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?' But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come near to me, please.' And they came near. And he said, 'I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me here before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, "Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." We come here to the happy, emotional climax of an extended story that began back in chapter 37. But it's possible to have the self-centered question: what does this have to do with me? Let me give you a preliminary answer, and by the end we'll have a fuller answer. Preliminary answer: they lived in God's world, and you live in God's world. They needed to understand God, and you need to understand God. They needed to honor and reverence and fear God, and you need to honor and reverence and fear God. They came to love and to trust God, and you, best for you and good for you to come to where you love and trust God. So if you understand all that's going on here, that will help you marvel at God who works evil together, people's evil together, for his good plan. Understand this climax and begin to understand and trust and love God. Because what often doesn't come through when you learn this story in Sunday school is that God's people had gone astray. That's the theme of Genesis. You can say it's kind of the theme of the Bible. Genesis starts off, God creates a good world. People are made in his image. They go astray. They go so badly astray that he floods the earth. Only saves humanity through one family because of the righteousness of Noah. If you had Noah's family, everything's going to be great now. No, it's not. Very quickly, you have drunkenness and dishonor and cursing, and it runs downhill again to the Tower of Babel. And God scatters them again. And he says, I'm going to work through Abraham. Well, this time it's different. He makes promises to Abraham. So he works with Abraham, and he brings Abraham to a very high level of faithfulness. But Abraham has to die sometime. And Isaac and Rebekah, not quite as solid. And Jacob and Esau, they're really starting to fray. And then Jacob's 12 sons, the older 10 so hated Joseph, their father's favorite, that they sold him into slavery. And as we talked about a week or two ago, the clear leader of the 10, Judah, went off and began to intermarry with the Canaanites. How is God going to rescue this family? Because his plan is bound up. He's going to save the world through this family. And yet, there they are, totally at strife with each other, intermarrying with the Canaanites. How's God going to destroy the Canaanites and give the land to them if they are the Canaanites? So how is God going to rescue this situation? He's made promises to Abraham. He can't just do a flood again. So God worked through his chosen one. And his chosen one suffered. God chose Joseph, and he showed him that by dreams. Joseph dreamed, and he and his 10 older brothers were binding up sheaves of wheat, and his sheaf stood up in his dream, and all the other sheaves of wheat bowed down to his. And he told his brothers this, and this is just what they were afraid of. They knew their father preferred him. They hated him for it. He had another dream, and somehow he had a star, and his brothers had stars, and all the stars bowed down to his star. The sun and the moon bowed down to his star. He told his father that one. His father didn't want to hear it either. But his father kept the matter in mind, it says. Yeah, so God chose Joseph, but his brothers rejected him. They sold him into slavery. He was taken to Egypt. He's sold to a guy named Potiphar. He's such a good slave, Potiphar says, hey, you just run the whole house. And then tragedy struck. Potiphar's wife wanted him too. And kept after him and kept after him until finally she's holding on to his coat. He has to run away, leaving his coat in her hand. Now she needs a story. She says, oh, he was coming after me. He goes to jail. So there he is. He's rejected. He's sold. He's far away. He's keeping himself pure, but he's just falsely accused and imprisoned. But he stays pure. He's so trustworthy even in jail. The jailer puts him in prison. But there he is. He's in prison. He's a prisoner. And then God exalted him. Into the jail came Pharaoh's cupbearer and the baker. I guess Pharaoh got sick to his stomach that night. And God gave each one a dream. And in the morning they were sad because they could tell the dreams were significant. And Joseph alertly noticed these guys were sad. He said, what's the problem? We had dreams. Well, tell me the dream. Joseph was given wisdom by God. He says, oh, well, this is what's going to happen. 3 days, you're going to be back in your old job and you're going to get killed. Sorry. All right? So, sorry. For you, remember me when you get out of here. 3 days later, that's how it works out. But the guy forgets him. In 2 more years, Joseph is in the prison until God gives Pharaoh a dream. And again, Pharaoh can tell the dream's significant. He calls in the magicians. They don't know what's going on. And then the cupbearer remembers Joseph. He says, I'm sorry, sir. Back in the jail where you sent me a couple years ago. Never mind about that. Anyway, there's a Hebrew slave down there who interpreted my dream and the baker's dream, and it all came true. Pharaoh said, well, go get the guy. And so God gives Joseph the wisdom to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, that there's going to be 7 good harvests, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And Joseph had learned how to talk to a boss. Don't just present problems, present a solution. So Joseph interprets the dreams, and then he says, now let Pharaoh appoint a wise man to gather in all the excess of the good years so that when the bad years come, you will have food to sell to the people. And Pharaoh said, that's a great idea, and I've met no one as wise as you. Only you have the Spirit of God and wisdom. And so as Potiphar set Joseph over his house and the jailer set Joseph over the prison, then Pharaoh set Joseph over Egypt. And he reigned over everything. And men ran before his chariot telling all the Egyptians, bow the knee. So God's chosen one. He's greatly exalted. But how does that help the family and the plan of God? Well, God then used his chosen one to bring about their reconciliation and their preservation. Joseph reigned in Egypt as the prime minister all through the good years, and he built big barns and he piled up the grain. And then Joseph reigned in Egypt during the bad years, and he began to sell the food. And the famine was wider than just Egypt. That's key. It was also a famine up in Canaan, where his family lived. And so his brothers and father began to be in need, and they heard there's food in Egypt, so they go down to buy it. Jacob said, I'm keeping my new baby favorite, Benjamin, home. You other older 10, you go buy the food. And clean-shaven, Egyptian-speaking Joseph looks up one day, and there are 10 bearded Hebrew guys bowing down before him. And he recognized that God had made his dream come true. Here were his brothers bowing down in front of him. But he wanted to know, are they still the same men who sold me into slavery? Can I do anything to test their hearts? Can I do anything to summon their conscience? So he tested them. He concealed his identity. He spoke through the interpreter. He called them spies. He sent them to jail. He made them bring Benjamin. And their suffering produced some confession. They said to each other in his presence, why is this happening? It's because of Joseph. We know what we did to Joseph. He said, well, that's a good sign. Even in the test, he was generous. He returned their money to them in their sacks. When Benjamin came, he brought them all to his house and ate with them at a different table. And then he framed Benjamin. He put his silver cup in Benjamin's sack and sent them off and then ran him down, brought him back, said, I'm not going to enslave all of you, only the one who stole my cup. He wanted to see, are they still willing to see their brother enslaved? Or will they fight for him? And so what we were reading there in the beginning was Judah speaking for his brothers and saying, don't keep Benjamin, please keep me instead. And notice the thrilling plan of God. As we then read, Joseph was satisfied. He revealed himself to them. No doubt he switched into Hebrew. And so the brothers were restored. The family was reconciled. Israel was put back together. Through this, God reconciled the brothers. But there were still 5 years of famine. And so Joseph was the man to see. He said, bring the whole family to Egypt because God has showed Pharaoh and me that there's going to be 5 more years of famine. The whole family moved to Egypt and was fed and lived. They were preserved physically. But what about spiritually? They had been intermarrying with the Canaanites. That's one point of the whole chapter about Judah and Tamar. They're intermarrying with the Canaanites. They're losing their identity as the people of God. Joseph says, come to me in Egypt. Because in Egypt, every shepherd, it says, is an abomination to Egyptians. The Bible notes this a couple places. They were shepherds. So it's carefully noted that when Joseph brought them to his house and ate with them, he didn't eat with them. He ate at a table over here to maintain the ruse. And they ate at a table over there because Egyptians will not eat with shepherds. And so Joseph coached his brothers. When you go in to see Pharaoh, say, we are shepherds. Get that in there. So they said, we are shepherds. Can we live in the land of Goshen by ourselves? Pharaoh said, yes, you're welcome for the sake of Joseph, and you can go off over there. And so they couldn't blend in. The Egyptians didn't want to eat with them. They couldn't lose their identity, but they were welcome for Joseph's sake. So through Joseph, they were not just reconciled to each other. And they were not just preserved physically through the famine. They were preserved spiritually, as they were, you could say, forcibly made to be by themselves. And so in Egypt, they grew into a great nation. And another of God's promises to Abraham came true. And so God's working was marvelous. He worked through his suffering chosen one to bring peace, to preserve, to bring purity. But you might still be more fascinated with yourself and say, what does this have to do with me? Now for the two-part answer. First of all, this is God who brought good out of the evil the brothers intended by selling him into slavery. And Joseph understood that very well. He says it later on, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. This is God who brought good out of evil, who overcame their divisions, who knows how to make his promises come true. And God is the same now as then. So you can trust God when he tells you that he will judge the world. You can trust God when he says that he is love. You can trust God when he says that your sins are washed away and you are a new creation when you believe in Jesus Christ. When you see how powerfully he works to achieve his promises. But there's something else here. We're like the 10 brothers back at the beginning. We also have gone astray. We also break peace with our brothers. I hope we don't sell them into slavery. But we also were seduced by the world. And God sent his beloved son to his people, even as Jacob sent Joseph to his brothers. And Israel rejected Jesus and all the prophecies that came first that I think you heard about this morning, even as the 10 brothers rejected Joseph and the dreams that had come first. And through it all, Jesus remained pure and blameless, even though he was tempted and falsely accused and condemned. He was innocent. Even as Joseph was tempted and falsely accused and wrongly condemned and imprisoned, and yet he was innocent. And so therefore, God has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name above every name. Just as all the Egyptians were told, bow the knee, Joseph's chariot is coming. So all the world is now told to bow the knee to Jesus, the Lord. Yes, Jesus brought salvation to both Jew and Gentile, even as Joseph saved the lives of both his family and also all the Egyptians. They say to him later on, you saved our lives. Thanks to you, we have food. And so as God dealt with Joseph, with his brothers, with the Egyptians, so he dealt with Jesus and with Jews and with Gentiles, which means you. Like the Egyptians, you also can only be saved through God's chosen one, who was rejected by men but exalted by God. It's the great climax of Genesis. It's the great climax of history. So go to the one who saves lives. As Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me. So Jesus also says, come near to me. Come near. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens, I will go in and eat and drink with him. Come near with humble confession of sin and open profession of faith. Come near, Jesus says, that I may baptize you and wash away your sins. Come near that I may feed you. Feed your soul with the Lord's Supper. Joseph said to them, I am your brother. Jesus also says, I am your brother. Came in human flesh, tempted in every way. He called his disciples his friends. He's not ashamed to call us his brothers, although we are unworthy of him. Joseph said, don't be angry with yourselves. And that was generous. Jesus also says, repent and your sins are washed away. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone. New things have come. Forgetting what lies behind, you press on to what lies ahead. Don't be angry with yourselves. Only believe. Joseph said, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and don't tarry. And Jesus says, God has made me Lord of the earth. Come down to me and do not tarry. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. What does Joseph have to do with you? This is who God is. He will keep his promises. He will save the world through Abraham's descendant. He delights in reconciliation, in rescue, and in purity. And more, this is how God operates. He gave his people pictures of the Savior ahead of time. God chose Joseph. God caused him to suffer. God exalted him. God brought salvation through him. And God chose Jesus and caused him to suffer and exalted him and bring salvation through him. So as the brothers, they didn't stand aloof. They went close to Joseph. So you, go close to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this powerful picture. 1,800 years ahead of time. Of the reconciling and preserving work of Jesus. We thank you for Joseph. And we thank you that you gave him endurance through all his suffering. And we thank you for the marvelous, miraculous way you exalted him. And we thank you that through him, you brought your people together again and provided for their preservation, physically and spiritually. And so, Lord, we thank you that through Jesus Christ, you bring together people from all kinds of backgrounds, and you reconcile us, and you preserve us. So, Lord, help us to seek first you and your kingdom, and to trust that as we seek you, these other things will be added to us. Help us to trust in you, even through our times of suffering and through times of injustice. Help us to fix our hopes on you and to continue to follow you, even as Joseph continued to be honorable in your sight, even in the midst of injustice. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.